If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
That was Mike Vrabel today at Gillette Stadium pre-draft press conference.
A lot of gobbledygook.
Also, usually when someone does that and they say the question at the end of an answer, it's actually the question that was asked, which he didn't do. He was asked, is there a tackle worthy of the number four pick? And he said, there's starting tackles in this draft. That's not the same thing, Mike. I also don't think that necessarily...
So you think that was a giveaway?
I don't know. I don't... So Adam Jones, Jones and Keith aired Mike Vrabel live, 1 o'clock, and Adam Jones said immediately... following that they're not taking Will Campbell. Mike Vrabel just told you they're not taking Will Campbell because he didn't say there was a tackle worthy. He said there's some starting tackles. I don't necessarily read it totally that way, but he didn't answer the question.
Right.
Yeah, I know there's starting tackles, yep. Fitzy. Yep. Like, they're going to there's going to be tackles drafted, but is that guy getting drafted 4, 8, 20? I mean, we just had two guests on this show, Fitzy, have said Josh Simmons is sort of the best left tackle prototype in the draft. Mike Giardi and Lance Zierlein. So he's probably going to start at tackle. He's not going four. He's going to go later in the first round. So I think it's interesting, that answer. Did you, Fitzy, react to that? Did you have like a guttural, oh, he's not taken. He doesn't think Campbell can play tackle, or he doesn't think he's that good, or did it not resonate quite as strongly?
It didn't resonate the same way, mostly just because I can't imagine that Vrabel's going to play his hand like that. Like, now, he's somebody else that, again, because we know that he governs with a DGAF attitude, that if he says he wants to take Will Campbell, he'd probably broadcast it and let everyone know. Because otherwise, he's going to be able to get him with the position they sit in, or someone's going to have to blow him away with a draft night offer to get out of the four spot if he was hell-bent on taking Will Campbell. I, earlier, a couple hours before our show today, did a Six Rings podcast with Max Chadwick from Pro Football Focus. He's their lead college football analyst. He does not have Will Campbell as his number one tackle. His favorite two tackles in this upcoming draft are number one, Kelvin Banks Jr., and number two, Josh Simmons out of Ohio State. And his preferred desire, after crushing tens of thousands of hours of college football tape, workouts, pro days, and more, is for the Pats to find a willing partner, like the Panthers, 9 with the Saints, scoot back and go Tet McMillan and a tackle, or tackle and a receiver later on in that first round. And Vrabel may just be able to pull that off on Thursday, guys.
So the trade idea, I think, is palatable to a lot of people as soon as you take away Cart, but it takes two to tango.
Most people want the Patriots to trade back to that, you know, 6 to 9 spot.
But you're not just going to give it away, are you? Like, you're not just going to trade for the sake of trading to get the hell out of there. If somebody's not willing to give you value in return, aren't you better suited just taking best player available at 4 and moving on with your day?
Yes, unless you have, you know, guys rated from 5 to 9 the same. You know, that unless you have, you know, kind of this, a guy at 5th is the same as the guy at 9th. You know, yeah. if we miss out on Ashton Jeansy, at least we'll get Tyler Warren, or, you know, or vice versa. You know, that's to me how I most people, you're right. Most people, it's threading the needle. It's kind of like me last year going, you know, I mean, in a perfect world, you trade that third pick and you pick up the quarterback from Washington. Why am I forgetting his name? the kid Penix, Michael Penix. Then you get Michael Penix, and but that was that's threading the needle. That's right. That's like everything has to work out perfect. Same thing kind of with this draft. If you're going to trade back, you can't be too far, and it's you still got to get a good player when you trade back and make the what you get in return to be worth trading back.
So that was Vrabel's answer on their biggest need, which is left tackle. Is there a left tackle worthy of the number four pick? He kind of talked around the answer. The other option,
the answer is definitively no.
Because we'll see.
We asked Lance Zierlein that. Nobody's saying, nobody's got a left tackle in their top four best players on the board.
So that is the question. If you're not going to take a tackle to fill your biggest need, Mike Vrabel, are you going to go best player available?
And that's what I heard in his presser today.
And we'll hear.
And I feel like that's kind of what I heard the last time you talked too. I've heard best player available a couple times when he's addressed the media.
And you'll hear it again right here.
EPA.
Go.
Well, would love for them to align, having a need and having the best player be there. That doesn't always happen. And we certainly want to pick the best player as many times as we can. And the player that we think at that point is the best player. And then we'll figure it out. You know, maybe you look at one position and we may have some returning starters or we feel like our starters or there's depth of that position. But to add premium players when available is something that you should probably always try to do.
100% agree.
So most likely, if Travis Carter and Abdul...
Ooh, love that.
Travis Hunter, excuse me, and Abdul Carter are already gone before you go, what are the best players available? Probably most likely still there. It's going to be an Ashton Jeanty, a Mason Graham, a Jalen Walker, a Tyler Warren. Those are going to be the names that are going to come up when the Patriots pick at number four.
So do we want him, Fitzy, to auto-draft? Because that would be auto-draft.
Just how long have we begged and pleaded and stood outside Gillette with a boombox over our head requesting for the Patriots to just turn on Yahoo auto-draft and BPA it? If they're not going to find a willing partner to go back to 6, 8, 9, etc., and be able to do the easier double whammy in the first round, then just take best player available. And honestly, if Terrell Williams, Josh McDaniels, Elliot Wolf, maybe less Matt Groh, definitely Mike Vrabel, all agree it's Mason Graham, fine. If that's who they want, go ahead. Okay, I'll live with it because they will stick to the conviction of the best player that they had rated for that spot becoming a New England Patriot.
And then get ready for John Rook's voice at Gillette Stadium saying, and at left tackle, Vidarian Lowe.
And that's
interesting. Ozzie Trapio.
Because there's gonna be a lot of backlash. If they don't get a left tackle in the top two picks, there will be a lot of backlash on the Patriots.
And I think for Fitzy's idea even more so. Because your idea of Ashton Jeanty or even Tyler Warren, a little bit sexy. A little bit sexy, like Saquon Barkley was taken number two overall, or are we getting another Gronk? We loved Gronk around here.
You can sell that.
If you take a defensive tackle after you signed Christian Barmore for $90 million and Milton Williams for $100 million, I think people are going to be like, what are we doing here? Is Drake May not getting any help? Like that, there will be pushback more so on that best player available at the defensive side of the ball than there will be for an offensive player.
Yeah, especially interior. Mason Graham, Jalen Walker, I think an edge rusher.
Oh, yeah, he's a guy that...
People would be, sexy. I think, okay with it.
There's a little sexiness to that.
Edge rusher, always sexy.
But there is, if you're going by, and I know, Ted, you're not the biggest fan of mock drafts, but if you're going by a lot of mock drafts lately, there's a lot of Mason Graham going to Jacksonville at 5. Like, he's a top 5 or 6 type player. So the idea that he could be the best player available on the board is not a crazy notion. I just think you can't do that. You can't invest $190 million at defensive tackle the last 2 years and then the fourth pick in the draft and not have some people be like, what are we doing?
I think that's the one position, that I feel most confident that they will not get is Mason Graham because of...
Okay.
Go ahead, Fitzy.
You say so, Ted. It's good. Yep. The perfect time to jump in because I didn't read this on the show yesterday. I specifically saved it for today, Ted, because I know you love to mock till you drop.
I'm going to mock you out.
Mock of ages, pal. Here we go. Going to mock around the clock. Yesterday at NFL.com, Gennaro Felice, who is the deputy editor of NFL.com, put out his NFL mock draft.
Oh, here we go.
And are you ready? 1, Ward. 2, Carter. 3, Hunter. 4, Mason Graham.
Nope. I will be pissed. I will be bitching and moaning. I will absolutely be bitching and moaning
who
about
else,
that pick.
Who's the other person that picked Mason Graham? Fitzy, let's see how well you know your mock drafts. There's another local beat writer.
Local?
Yeah.
It wasn't Callahan or Kide. Was it Volan?
Ant wrong. Karen Grigian.
The first question at the press conference?
She whispers Vrabel. She is probably the closest. Guys.
Oh, yeah.
Watch That's out. True, yeah. I'm telling you.
I am going to be unhappy.
That's the one player I can pretty much would bet the house that they would not draft.
Yeah, Mason I kind of feel that way too, but why are people doing it? Why are people mocking it? Karen. Karen is tied in. Karen is smart. Karen is knowledgeable. Although I will say, she did state when she was starting her mock draft series like it was the first of four. So you got to have different pick. You can't do the same one each time, right? So maybe that's just the curveball before she puts it away with the fastball kind of later.
Okay, maybe, yeah.
Because I don't want to.
Just, hey, Fitzy, get Karen Grigian's mock draft, the last one she puts in at 6:55 next Thursday.
That's the one.
And that's the one.
That's the pick.
That's the pick.
And it'll say Will Campbell. I'm staying where I was last October and November. I'm staying with Will Campbell because he also noticed, did you hear him say, most of the time or more often than not, something about that, you want to take the best player available. So he left himself a little Belichickian wiggle room to maybe this need is so jarring that it supersedes best player available there. And then second round, boom, we're back to best player available. Yep. Best player available could do it again. I choose to believe that because I still, Ted Johnson, you've told me many times on this show, they'll find a tackle. They'll find a left tackle. And if they get past the draft and I don't believe they have a left tackle, I'm going to be more and more concerned that indeed Vedarian Lowe or one of these guys, these hangers-ons from last year, will be the left tackle. And that could derail everything. That could be the fatal flaw. And I don't want to play the fatal flaw game. I'd rather have Ashton Jeanty, though, because that would be fun, or Travis Hunter. But if it's Mason Graham, that's a debacle waiting to happen. 617-779-7937. We see your phone calls. What will the Patriots do in a little more than a week? Best player available? Tackle? Ted's favorite player? Somebody who's a Buffalo? Who knows? But we're getting closer to finally putting this to bed. We'll continue to talk about it. Mike Vrabel, his comments down at Gillette today about the draft process, the roster. That's all up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But of course, first break.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. but you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All trending.
It's interesting.
You believe
That's
him?
It's going to be interesting.
His reps were going to lessen? So they're not going to bring in another quarterback?
As of right now, no.
Oh, they are.
You are lying. I don't believe you.
But he's basically saying if he was on the team, he'd be a third string quarterback.
Yeah. He was last year.
Right. But he is a guy that thinks he's at least a second.
You people keep saying that. I didn't hear him.
No, Joe Milton thinks that. Joe Milton thinks he should be a starter, if at worst, a second.
I know. He fancies himself a starter.
He would be a third string quarterback here, and thus just be untenable.
I don't believe a word Mike Vrabel said. That's the bottom line. He needed to get rid of him. Like, it wasn't about reps. They're going to bring in another quarterback. Reese has basically said definitively they're going to either draft or sign a rookie quarterback, day 3/ undrafted quarterback. They're going to have another guy. Like, no one has he wasn't willing to go all in there, and I know Andy. Yes, no, most coaches aren't going to rip a guy in the press conference and say, his ego got out of hand or he was a dink or anything like that.
It is interesting that I wonder, a lot of people are going to remember this decision. This is Mike Vrabel's first big decision, right? Is to maybe who he hired on offense and defense. But I think this storyline is going to be, if Drake May gets off to a bad start, and who knows, he gets off to some hot start in Dallas, Dak's not healthy, and all of a sudden he starts ripping it up. It is going to be deafening, the criticism about that decision that they made, just soon after the season ended.
Or even just preseason. If he goes off in the preseason, he's going to get a bunch
correct.
Of reps.
You're right.
And if people are watching SportsCenter or NFL Network and getting their preseason highlights out of Dallas, and they're like, wait, what? Joe Milton went 24 of 26 with 3 touchdowns in a preseason? Like that
in the first quarter?
Right. That's going to draw criticism. And you're right. Like, in some ways, the David Andrews release is bigger, captain, longevity, things. But there's no way to really look bad there. There's a way to look bad with Joe Milton. If Joe Milton is good this year in any form or fashion and is a starter at any point moving forward this year, next year, I've heard rumblings, rumors out of Dallas, like maybe they are looking to give themselves an option to move on from Dak and that contract
or something. They've been bringing guys in to be
Trey,
options all the
Lance.
Time.
Trey Lance, the bust.
Oh, yeah.
So this definitely could be something that could blow up in their faces. And it seems like he had to have made the decision with limited personal information, right? Like, he didn't spend a lot of time with Joe Milton. I don't know if he spent any time with Joe Milton.
I wouldn't need that much if I was in his shoes either. I would have made the same decision if I were in Vrabel's shoes.
Really?
Based on
what the perceived for information is out there about him.
Well, that's funny because Bedard was reporting that people that he spoke to that were in the building were surprised that Milton was let go.
Okay. Interesting. Mm.
Well, but I mean,
who
could
that be?
You guys, I mean, my take the whole time was that he was going to get traded, and I was giving you. I didn't like the Bailey Zappi dynamic with Mac Jones.
I didn't either.
So I would remember that, and I'm the head coach of the New England Patriots. I'd be like, I don't want that same dynamic here. I don't think Bailey Zappi brought out the best of Mac Jones.
I would 100% agree with that. And Stiz has the audio of Bedard talking about this QB situation.
I was communicating with someone from the former regime and sort of relaying, what I've heard from inside the building. And they were completely surprised. They said they didn't see any of it. So, I just wonder, I'm obviously formulating some conspiracy theories because there's not a lot of people in the building that have experience with Joe Milton anymore. Really, it's only the personnel staff.
That's what I'm saying. That some decisions were made about Joe Milton with I mean, aren't you kind of probably basing it on Elliot Wolf and Matt Groh and the holdovers,
yeah,
the guys
yeah, yeah.
that were with the previous
yeah.
regime?
Yeah. And I don't mm-hmm. think, I think listening to Elliot Wolf's opinion is, it was probably what he should be doing. And that's an opinion that should be, I mean, the guy's the general manager for crying out loud, at least last year. So yeah. I would take what he has to say about the player weigh that heavily.
But it is interesting that Bedard, and just to clarify, Bedard said speaking with somebody from the previous regime was surprised what the current regime is saying and the trade that's, and that went down.
Can I play one more Bedard, a short one?
Stiz is going to be in his bonnet here. Wait, let's go.
To me, there's no way Elliot Wolf is doing this deal. So who could have been saying to Mike Vrabel and his people, this is not a guy you want around anymore?
That's a great question.
Because he drafted him.
He drafted him. Is he going to be like, by the way, the guy I drafted? Oh, he's a dink. We got to get rid of him. Like,
No. He. If anything, if Joe Milton were to turn into something resembling a starter worth trading for after the 2025 season, then good Lord, that would make Elliot Wolf's draft class, which still gets a D- from most Pats fans and analysts alike, it would make it look a whole lot better that in between all of the, what'd you see in that guy, he had two freaking quarterbacks, Andy.
And it's also the Wolf family business. He would probably earn some praise from Papa Wolf, who used to try to do this all the time with the Packers. He was the guy that believed in drafting, developing, trading asset quarterbacks. And if he did it, he would be daddy's little boy. So I know we say every time this is the last time we're going to talk about Joe Milton and the trade and the situation, but it just keeps bubbling back up.
Greg Bedard, in that same, show, also said this about Joe Milton.
And again, I don't have specifics, but, you know, from talking to people, you know, there's been an issue with Milton, not an issue, but, and we even heard Vrabel talk about it in the cut you guys played earlier, where he referenced about how people want to be starters. And that's been out there that Milton, you know, thinks very highly of himself. And I think the Patriots, or at least the new regime, looked at it like, we don't want that kind of guy here. You know, we know who our guy is. We want a guy who knows his place, like Josh Dobbs and probably a six-round quarterback this year, that know their place, that Drake's there, and clear the decks.
Is it an issue or not an issue?
Oh, clear the decks. I thought it was clear the runway.
Oh,
that was the information that was put out there.
So Bedard's, you know, he's kind of giving you both sides there.
He is. He is.
You know, he's giving you both sides.
I
think I'm alone on this show in my desire to
yes, you are.
To move Joe.
I think it must be like an ex-Patriots linebacker mentality that you and Vrabel share, like tied together at the hip.
It's just a vagueness, though. Who said it?
Right.
Who is saying this?
And then Bedard even re-racked the beginning of that because he says something negative, and then he goes, well, not a problem, like issue. I think he used the word issue, Stiz. Go ahead.
And again, I don't have specifics, but, you know, from talking to people, you know, there's been an issue with Milton. Not an issue, but
you can't.
And we even heard Vrabel talk about it.
Maybe a situation.
Right? Like,
maybe not an issue, but a situation.
This is a guy's reputation, right, that they are besmirching. And I only say besmirching because we don't have any factual evidence. And I don't know who is trumpeting this idea that Joe Milton is a problem behind the scenes, because the GM who drafted him would seem like an unlikely candidate because he would want him to succeed and get some value out of him and all that. So is it Matt Groh? Is it like one of the few remaining scouts, personnel department? Because all the coaches are gone, right? Mm-hmm. Is it Daron Mayo? He's still around, right? The strength and conditioning coach, Gerard's brother. Who is this person that saw something they didn't like from Milton that led them to believe they might go down Mac Jones, Zappy fever?
We might not
again?
Ever find out.
I also want to know who wants a beta or like just like an absolute, you know, bump on the log for a backup like, okay, I know I'm fast and I have a cannon for an arm. Let's not even think about the backflips. I'm just happy to be here in the first place. No, you want to, I don't understand. When all of a sudden did the idea of like, I have confidence in myself. I think I can compete. I can push the starter and make him better and have to work harder so and make him have to grind so as to improve him. When did this become such a bad thing? When
this guy got to go.
This guy got to go.
Right. No, yeah. No. I think what they're doing is differentiating quarterback.
It's if thank I mean, you. We're like, really getting this over. It's the position, guys.
Right.
It's all the other positions. Knock it. No, go for it. You want competition?
Ted Johnson's
guys.
Backup wants to take his job. Let him fight it out.
Yeah. Every other position, you want that competition. You don't necessarily want it at that Not when you got
Drake May here.
That kind of investment in that player. They've invested a third overall pick in Drake May.
So you don't want to break him. You got to kind of protect him and harness him and mold him.
You think he needs to be pushed? You don't think there's a pressure on Drake May?
Oh, yeah.
You think he's got to feel pressure from backup to feel pressure?
No, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think there's inherent starting quarterback pressure.
Your program is soft because you don't want the quarterback that you drafted third overall, you know, being having to deal with, you know, a backup quarterback maybe sabotaging him a little bit. Hmm. Like, I don't think that's the case.
I got to be consistent.
I don't think you have a soft program.
If I were watching this happen, for example, down 95 with the New York Jets, and I were just an observer of the Jets, they drafted a guy third overall, they had another guy, came in the same situation, I'd be mocking it. I'd be saying, that's why you're the Jets, because you don't want competition at the most important position. It's setting a tone for your entire culture of your team. I'd be ripping it. So don't I have to be consistent and question, at least question it here? I got to at least question it. Dan Ball.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for Ted, if you're all right with that.
Yeah.
So you've dug your heels in on this show, which I respect. And out of the five of us on the show and behind the glass, you are the only person that's been in an NFL locker room as a player with the media not present. So we are talking about somebody and dealings that are happening behind closed doors in a locker room. So my question for you is, have you ever seen something play out like this to where you're speaking from experience as to why somebody who's confident or cocky about being a starter could be an issue? Are you drawing from experience on this at all?
You know, the only thing, other than the Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe, you know, that's, you know, I mean,
this can go beyond the quarterback position as well.
You know what? I'd have to think about it. You know, I'd have to think about it. I'm trying to think of – no, there has to be examples of it. It wasn't in our face.
Right.
Sure,
It wasn't something that we all saw. It was something I'm sure
– Well, can
it's happened. I just don't remember it being a story in the locker room.
So this is a different scenario. It's a very different situation, but it is the quarterback position, and it is about looking over your shoulder. I know for a fact that in the 2008 season, when Tom Brady went down with a torn ACL – Matt Castle came in against the Chiefs. They literally had veteran backup quarterbacks flying to Foxborough that they decided to tell, sorry, we actually changed our mind. We're not doing workouts. We're not looking for a veteran backup. We're turning you around. We don't want Castle looking over his shoulder. We're turning this team over to Matt Castle. So it's a different dynamic, but the psyche and security of the quarterback position was at play there too. And it worked. He went on and won 11 games, whatever, like had a nice season. Yeah. Would that have been different? Would he have been unsettled if, I think it was like Tim Rattay or some one of those like journeyman backups.
Possibly.
Tim Rattay.
Here's a guy that gets his first opportunity to start when Tom goes down. And now you're bringing in, you're in the middle of the season and it's the position's up for grabs. All the stuff I did in training camp doesn't amount to anything now.
So I think that's interesting.
Just don't add more pressure on a kid if you can help it.
Right. And that would be an example where clearly quarterback is different. Because if Ted Johnson got hurt and the backup linebacker stepped up, they'd bring in another linebacker.
Of course.
Absolutely. And wouldn't even consider the psyche of the backup or anything like that. Right. So that plays to your side of the street that quarterback is different and maybe it doesn't necessarily send a bad message or set a tone. It doesn't mean the backup corner shouldn't think he should start or the backup D end or D tackle or any other position. You guys can all think you should be starters. It's the quarterback where it's weird. We're going to put a pin in that because I'm sure I've said before we're done talking about it. Now I've clearly realized we're never going to be done talking about it.
Never.
It's going to define Milton. It's going to define Vrabel. It's going to define May.
It's going to define WEEI afternoons.
Sadly, but true, that may be a possibility. But we do need to talk about Abdul Carter and Stiz. You have some audio here about the possibility of him landing with the New England Patriots.
10 days out from the draft, April 14th, 2025. 10 days out from the draft, all of a sudden, Abdul Carter is... The agent doesn't let Abdul Carter travel to Foxborough, Massachusetts, if he thinks there's a chance. So the agent's getting the same information that I'm getting, that NFL teams are getting, that Shador could be in play at three.
You don't make the flight unless you think you might have to, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that part's fast. So if you're a Patriots fan,
yes,
and you're like, yeah, I like Will Campbell a lot, offensive tackle, and I'm told it's either Abdul if he falls to four or it's Will Campbell. That's another bit of information. Again, not all information is accurate, but it's coming from pretty good sources that just wouldn't say I have a good feeling or sense or a good source on this.
Todd McShay, right there, telling you it's Abdul Carter if he falls. Otherwise, it's Will Campbell. I'm happy with either.
Hmm. Yeah.
Ted does not look happy. In fact, I look at him and he's speechless at
nope.
the moment.
Nope. I would be. Look, I want Abdul Carter. I want Travis Hunter over Will Campbell. If they end up taking Will Campbell, I'm not going to be that upset about it because they need a left tackle. So I wouldn't be thrilled about it, but I would be like, okay, yeah, I get it. I get why they picked him there. And I think it's a bit of an overreach. He's more of a, you know, an 8 to 12, I think, you know, kind of a guy. But you reach for him at 4 for a position of need. I'm not going to be that mad at the Patriots if they end up with Will Campbell.
As far, Fitzy, as the idea of Abdul Carter wouldn't come here unless, like, he's like the rest of us. He can see the tea leaves and say, there's at least a chance I fall to 4, right? 2 quarterbacks, yes, and Travis Hunter. It's not some crazy, weird's going to happen.
I'm just mad that he, you know, didn't post a picture of Andre Tippett on his social.
That's true.
After visiting
that could
New
be
England.
Coming. That could be coming. We don't
screw
know.
Screw him. You're right, Ted.
He already left, Fitzy. I mean,
screw him.
So just so people know, Abdul Carter visited the New York Giants and then posted a picture of Lawrence Taylor on his personal Instagram post and comes to New England. Where's Tippett's love? No Tip. Hey. No love for Tip.
That is disrespectful.
He clearly,
what if he posts a photo of you, Ted?
That's another issue I have. I don't want to bring it up. I'm glad you did. I mean, clearly, if he really wanted to be a linebacker here, he would have posted a picture of 52, but he didn't. Sorry.
Two words that could scare you away, and I don't. This was on the text line earlier. I haven't thought this once, but do you remember Aaron Maben, who was drafted in the first round?
The Penn State guy, yeah.
Penn State guy went to Buffalo, was supposed to be like a can't-miss edge guy, and he missed. So you know how I had the fear of Trent Richardson with Ashton Jenkins? Like, you get these negative comps in your head of whatever, same guy, same uniform, same position. That would be the worst. That would be the worst case scenario. If you get Abdul Carter, and you got the little baggage about the foot, which I'm sure part of the visit yesterday, they looked at
and
that.
And the attitude stuff.
And the other thing, don't forget the attitude.
He takes practices off. That doesn't fit the profile.
I know,
that
but
that doesn't jibe in Vrabelvania.
And I don't blame him for factoring that in. If that's part of his factors in the decision making on whether or not to draft him or not,
it's going to be Mason Graham. Damn it!
If it's Mason Graham, no, I'm just going to swear or something. I don't know. I'm going to be very, very, very angry. But also, Ted, just the takes practices off. I know Tom Brady, for example, didn't take practices off, or Julian, whoever. Don't sometimes great players take practices off? Like, you think Randy Moss took practices off occasionally?
Randy Moss. That was part of his brand, was taking plays off.
But I might be hoping that Abdul Carter takes plays off because he's so damn good, he takes plays off and still gets 22 sacks a year.
Now when you have a young team that you're trying to build a culture, you're trying to establish, you know, something here that's new. You know, if it's Bill Belichick who's coaching here, when no one's going to question him, no. When you know what clearly he defines the culture. Vrabel's trying to define his culture, and it's going to be about guys that love football. And if you don't want to practice because you think you're too important to practice, that's not going to fit the culture that Vrabel's trying to establish.
We really are threading a needle. So you got to practice hard, but make sure you don't want to start. Just practice hard. Don't cross the line and pretend you actually want to start in practice.
When Vrabel was asked about this today. Yeah, well, that's his resting state. When Vrabel was asked about this today, he did say talent still trumps character. The most important thing is talent.
And that is the message. And we're up against it here. We will play that quote on the other side because I think he has been beating that drum very heavily after the narrative about wanting good guys and Drake needs buddies in the huddle, not guys that are going to give him a hard
huddle
time.
Huddle buddies kill
little
me.
Little bit of huddle buddies. But since then, Vrabel's pushed back. So we will hear Mike Vrabel talking about talent trumps good dudes next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Okay, I just asked that when we're in a meeting, okay, that we just pull our hoods down and we go from...
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports?
You can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't.
Genre packs starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Oh, he's telling you. He's telling you who he wants.
Who does he want?
I have no idea. But you can't, it's true, you cannot win with just, you know, choir boys. You got to have some greedy guys.
Absolutely.
You know, not like bad off the field dudes, but guys with an edge for sure.
So that was Mike Vrabel down at Gillette Stadium today, his pre-draft Patriots press conference. And one thing I want to tie into Mike Vrabel and good dudes versus not good dude, it's all relative. Like, I don't want people to jump to conclusions like, oh, like Aaron Hernandez or like people, you know, Tyreek Hill, who's been all over the news for various reasons.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just personality quirks. Or I think A.J. Brown is a perfect example. Do I think A.J. Brown is a perfect saint, you know, Tom Brady, does everything right at every turn of the football calendar? No, I don't. But Mike Vrabel certainly liked him in Tennessee. He's talked highly about him since he's watched him from afar in Philadelphia. Why couldn't that be Abdul Carter, who has some personality quirks or little issues? You know what I mean? Like, isn't that part of the job being an NFL head coach, is maybe guiding some of these 18, 19, 20-year-old men who have some issues into the right direction as professionals?
To some degree, yeah. But as a coach, you're trying to get the player that's already kind of figured it out into your program.
Right.
But yes. So if the player's worth it, depends.
That's my point.
It depends.
Do you want the 3-sack guy who's a saint, or do you want the might-be a 20-sack guy who you might need to caress, mold, and lead for a little bit?
It depends. If the 20-sack guy, is he worth the 20 sacks?
Yes. Okay. This team didn't have 20 sacks all year.
Yeah, they literally had 19, right, and half of them came in one game against the Bears. So
give me the 20-sack guy, and this is where I go back to. This has been a little bit of my argument that we're not going back into with the Joe Milton thing. Like, Mike Vrabel is in charge of this football team. I have a lot of faith in his leadership abilities, the strength, his convictions. He's been around the block. he's seen it in different places, different ways. He's learned from Belichick and Billy O and even now Stefanski. Last year was kind of a crap show in Cleveland he was involved in.
So do you think he knows more about football than you or me?
Absolutely.
So shouldn't we just trust him that he knows what he's doing? Okay.
Do not back me into a question. No, you know what my biggest question would be? What is he basing it on? Is it personal interaction and observations?
On past experiences.
Elliot Wolf? No, but I mean with Joe Milton.
On past experiences.
Who told him something? Well, you think he just
might not ever find that out, but somebody told him something that he didn't like, and on past experiences he said, you know what? I don't like the cut of that guy's jib. It's not worth it. We need to move on because I don't want to create a dynamic here that's going to be toxic for my quarterback and for the rest of the team.
And maybe he didn't create it. The 603 chimed in last segment. Kraft's statement about two quarterbacks
didn't help.
Might have caused problems. Right?
Mm-hmm. Didn't help.
Maybe that was sort of the impetus for he wins that game, he plays that game, and then the owner is joking, now we have two young quarterbacks. Maybe that planted a seed.
I'm sure it did.
Okay. So getting back, though, to Carter and this idea that they're looking for not necessarily good dudes, but good players. Where, and you've seen this, I'm going to go back to Dan's question of you earlier. Like, how many people came into the locker room during your tenure as rookies that you thought were of questionable character or questionable dudes?
In my class, nobody.
No, I mean in, like, your tenure.
Mm-hmm.
So you were there 10 years, so that's on average 7 guys a year. 70 rookies came through. I mean, I know there's guys that weren't great. There was one in 2001. I'm not going to say his name, but we talked to his position coach in college, and he was like, this guy's a dink. Don't put my name next to this guy's a dink.
There's dinks, but we were such a veteran-laden team that those dinks, we worked them out of there.
But that's different.
Yeah.
Vrabel doesn't have that right now. So that's my question is, like, what percentage of the draft prospects are we talking about have to be researched a little stronger?
Let me ask you this. There was a recent example of kind of maybe what we're talking about. Jack Jones, drafted in the fourth round.
Perfect.
A first-round talent. The Raiders, he had a great year this year for the Raiders.
Bubba.
They got rid of him.
Yeah.
Not worth it. So,
bye-bye.
Do you sit there and you go, are you mad at the Patriots for taking him?
No.
Or
took a shot.
Okay. You don't think he maybe the teams that he were on, I don't think he helped create a culture of winning there.
Nope.
He probably was at the
pretty
end of the
cool
day.
When he picked off Rodgers, but that was
that was a hell of a play. He wasn't worth the talent.
But not everybody has to set the culture, right? Isn't that whole theory, like 10% pulling the right way, 10% pulling the wrong way, and the other 80 just kind of go in the direction?
Two-thirds of this team is new. Mike's trying to figure out what he has with this team, and so you don't want to take any chances if you can help it.
So no chances in this draft. Okay, so we're taking best player available. We're not taking any character flaw chances. So should I be researching, like, guys that were team captains in college? Are they going to be assets?
Yes, you should,
Or dogs, like Dion would put on their chest? I think that's interesting.
I mean, there was a test that the Giants and the Cleveland Browns, and this was Belichick's, a psych test.
Yeah.
You ever heard of this test? There's like a 450 A, B, C, or D question, test that you had to do for all the prospects to see, like, if you are driving, in the traffic, are you 2 car lengths behind the car in front of you? Or 3, and if the guy cuts you off, how do you react? And then he gives you like 4. So they're just clearly trying to see what your mental state of mind. They put money and effort and time into trying to get into the minds of these football players for a reason.
No,
that sounds like a kind of quiz or test or whatever, or eval, where you could probably just reply with like whatever you think would placate your coach or, the personnel to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. But what they do is they ask the same question in little slight different variances.
But who's going to answer it honestly? I'm going to flip the guy off. I'm going to ride his tail. I'm going to.
But I think the point of the test is
that's correct with
there's
you.
There's so many times they ask the question in different ways that they're going to get you if you're lying.
They probably will.
So there's probably a method to the madness.
Let's go to the phone lines, bring a couple listeners in. Matt in Sudbury has an opinion on Joe Milton. Matt.
Yeah, hey. I never said Sudbury, so I was thrown off. Sorry, I'm just driving home. Listen, what if he was kind of a douche? You know, what if he can? You know, I don't mind with somebody who's talented walking around and knowing they're good, but not really having a chance to prove it and just squawking his mouth about it, guys. What if, you know, I mean, did Brady go around and, yeah, he supposedly said, I'm the greatest decision you've ever made. But did he walk around behind Bledsoe and chirp behind him and stuff like that to other teammates? It sounds like you're making all assumptions, so why not make that kind of assumption?
All right, thanks for the call, Matt. Yeah, there's a lot of assumptions being thrown around, or even loose reporting. Is that safe to say? It hasn't been tangible reporting, but loose reporting? He fancied himself a starter. You have guys like Bedard throwing.
It's more of opinions than it is reports.
But I think they're sourced. I respect Karen. I respect Greg. I think they are connected. They talk to people. So what exactly they're getting, I don't know what it is, but they're getting at least the inclination that Milton was...
Someone said something. We just don't know who.
Yeah,
and
who.
And exactly what.
And how informed that person was.
Stiz, you know people. Can't you get something in there?
I'll make a few phone calls.
The streets weren't talking to you. The streets talked to Wiggy. How come the streets don't talk to you?
We need somebody. I gotta put my ear to it.
All right, well, we'll get back to that if you hear anything from the streets. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we got to get back to the Boston Red Sox because they're going to get back to the field tonight, and maybe they'll keep it within, I don't know, 14 points, hopefully, 14 runs against the Rays because they've been a bit of a debacle. Ted Johnson talks about the debacle that is the St. Bregman-led Red Sox up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.